Good morning. Happy Easter. He is risen.
He is risen.
Amen. I'm sure many of you are waiting now because you saw Easter Friday or Good Friday, and now you're wondering what happened next. Well, you're here, and this is going to be perfect for you. If you're new to Meadowlands, this is the right service because you're going to see the gospel laid out that is from our hearts, how we preach it from the pulpit, and how we do expositional preaching through the scriptures, and it's a glory to be able to see that. If you're a longtime Christian, it is going to be a good service because you're going to go through some old gospel truths. Those ones that hit us all throughout our lives are going to be rekindled here today. If you're not a Christian, this is the service for you. You're going to hear about God's love and the victory of Christ obtained through faith that you can have as of today. This is not the service to be at because it's the best service you're going to ever have, but because God's word will be opened here this morning. And we'll be turning pages of God's word as we look into what he has for us. And we're going to be looking at the victory particularly that has been given to us through Christ because of Easter. Because of the events of Easter, hope spread like a wildfire in the ancient Near East. From the Israelites, from their blood came a living promise, the first fruits of what's to become of those who are dead in Christ. Because of Easter Sunday, the church would call this day blessed, and this day would be the day of traditional worship from then onwards, even into our day. This morning you're going to see why. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we ask that you bless this morning and you refresh us with the spiritual truths that are going to be revealed in it. Today is a day of promise for the weak, for all who are aware that a day of reckoning is coming. The person who calls God their Father and acknowledges Christ as Savior shall endure this life better, knowing that just as Christ was resurrected from the dead unto life, so shall we be resurrected. We ask that our minds might be focused and attentive and free from distraction this morning. Keep us from interfering thoughts in this hour. Help us to hear your Spirit as he guides us into truth and the knowledge of your sacrificial love for us. We are unworthy, but you knew this, and you choose to die in love for us anyways. We are unworthy, and yet you still rose from the grave and finished your work. Teach us to pray and sing these truths with God's fearing affection, and instill in us a deep conviction. In a day where the resurrection is a mockery, give us zeal for your house and a truth that we claim. Let us boldly proclaim it. Bless Adam as he leads us. Bless Pastor Mark as he reads the scripture. Bless Pastor Kevin as he gives us a message from your word. As your servants, we humbly ask for all these things in accordance to your will. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.
Well, good morning. We are here today to celebrate the risen Christ and all he has accomplished by his blood on the cross. My prayer as we examine the sacrifice and the resurrection of our Lord is that everyone here and everyone listening would be not an active participant in the worship of our great God and not merely a passive observer. So with that, let's stand and sing this opening declaration together that Christ the Lord has risen today.
Again.
You may be seated. As we gather today to celebrate our risen Savior, we must first understand the sacrifice of Christ's death. On Friday, we came together to reflect and to read the account from the book of John, the story of Jesus' death on a cruel cross following his arrest and his trial. Later, we'll read the rest of the story. But for now, as the choir sings this beautiful arrangement of a hymn by Fanny Crosby, please feel free to follow along either to the words on the screen, or the tune can be found in number 194 in your hymnals as well. And let us reflect on the amazing love that Christ would shed his blood to make us free. Please listen prayerfully as the choir presents O Love Divine. Amen. Thank you, choir. Let's all stand together and continue to sing as we come and behold the mystery of Christ and the power of the cross.
Dawn of the dark.
For your singing. You may be seated.
He is risen. Amen. Our responsive scripture reading is from John 20, verses 1 to 23. Please join along with me in bold. Now, the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple, whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Peter therefore went in, and the other disciple, and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter, and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen cloths lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen cloths lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who came to the tomb first, went in also, and he saw and believed, for as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes. But Mary stood outside by the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. Then they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Now, when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She, supposing him to be a gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which is teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, 'I am ascending to my God, Father, and your Father, and to my God, and to your God.'"
Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be to you." When he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Amen.
Praise God that, as we've just read, the story does not end with Jesus in the tomb. As the song we're about to sing says, "See God's salvation plan fulfilled in Christ, for he lives, Christ has risen from the grave." Let's stand together as we sing this truth. What a morning indeed. Death is dead, love has won, and Christ has conquered. Sing hallelujah, join the chorus, and sing with the redeemed. Christ is risen, he's risen indeed. Thank you for your singing this morning. You may be seated. So we celebrate and praise God for the miraculous work that He has done through His Son this Easter. So now, as we listen once again to the choir, we endeavor to know the risen Christ by the work of His Spirit in our lives and His Word given to us in Scripture and given in His amazing love. Let us reflect His sacrifice that we may know the risen Christ. This one, also the words and the tune, may be found in number 442 in your hymnals, The Risen Christ.
Thank you. Well, thank you, musicians, for leading us in worship, the choir, as well as the instrumentalists. Thank you, Adam, for putting all this together and helping us to focus on the whole reason we gather each Sunday is to worship our risen Savior. And in maybe a special way on this particular Sunday to have that as our primary focus. And so it is a joy to gather together, to rejoice, to worship the Savior who has been raised. He is alive. And we read together just a few minutes back from John chapter 20. And I'd like for us to return there for just a few minutes and really pick up where we left off in that reading. We read that Mary and then Peter and John found the tomb empty on Sunday morning. They didn't know what had happened, but they certainly were not expecting to see Jesus alive. After telling Peter and John, Mary returns to the tomb, and she is weeping. She thinks someone has taken the dead body of Jesus. And then Jesus appears to her, alive. And he tells her, "Go tell my disciples." Mark tells us that when Mary goes and tells the other disciples that they do not believe her. So later that evening, still on that Sunday, the disciples have gathered together in a room. And they're sad and fearful. And look at verse 19. We read this earlier. "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, 'Peace be with you.' When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord." What a shock. All the doors are shut, and then Jesus just appears in their presence. And he greets them, "Shalom, peace be with you." His body is similar and different. It's different in that he could just pass through the door and appear in their midst. It's similar in that it bears the marks of crucifixion. He shows them his hands and his side. And their sadness immediately turns to joy. Jesus is alive, and they believe. But I want us to focus in on a character who did not see the resurrected Christ on that first Resurrection Sunday. Verse 24 tells us that one of the disciples was absent from this meeting. Now Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. Have you ever missed out on an event? Maybe a lot of your friends went to something and you weren't able to go. Maybe you had to work. And then the next day they tell you all about it. All the fun they had. Everything that you missed out on. Our family, my four siblings and their families and my parents, they all live in about an 8-hour drive from one another, except us. We live much farther away. And so they get together maybe two or three times a year for holidays and vacations and get together. And they don't try to make us feel bad, but we see the pictures. And we hear there's stories, and sometimes we're all gathered together, and they're like, remember when we were all, and I'm listening, and I'm like, oh yeah, I don't think I was there. I missed out on the great time that they had. And even sometimes at times they'll call us, and they're, we're just not having near as good a time because you're not with us. But I know they're just saying that. You kind of feel bad a little bit because you miss out on that experience. Well, that's what happened with Thomas here. He missed out. And so At some point, either later that evening or the next day, Thomas hears all about it. Look at verse 25. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." And they try to convince Thomas that Jesus is alive, that they saw him, that they talked with him. But Thomas just cannot imagine this to be true. In verse 25, he says to them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now, it is this response that has given Thomas the reputation as a doubter, even a skeptic. I mean, no one wants to be called Doubting Thomas. But to be fair, Mary saw the empty tomb and she didn't rejoice. She was weeping until Jesus appeared to her. And the 10 disciples didn't take Mary's word for it. No, they refused to believe until Jesus appeared to them. So Thomas wasn't any different, was no more of a doubter than they were. And actually, I kind of like Thomas. In chapter 11 of John, Jesus suggests to the disciples that they should go near to Jerusalem because their good friend Lazarus has died. And so he wants them to go to the funeral. But the disciples are apprehensive. They have stayed away from Judea because of threats on the life of Jesus. It would be dangerous for them to return and make a public appearance. But Thomas speaks up and says, "Let us also go with him that we may die with him." That doesn't sound like a doubter, does it? I mean, Thomas is actually pretty bold and fearless. He was completely committed to Jesus, even to death. Thomas is also a good guy to have around when you are too embarrassed to admit that you don't know something. In John 14, Jesus tells his disciples that he is leaving them, and they're sad. He says, "Don't let your hearts be troubled." He tells them, "I'm going away, but I'm going to prepare a place for you." And Jesus explains that he's going to heaven. He says, "Where I go, you know, and the way you know." And I can just see the other disciples just nodding in agreement, even though they really don't understand what he's saying. But Thomas speaks up boldly and admits, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. And how can we know the way?" Thomas is just so genuine. What you see is what you get. He doesn't pretend to know what he doesn't know. He doesn't claim to believe what he doesn't believe. He just humbly admits, "I do not know where you are going or how to get there, but I want to know." And this sets up one of the greatest truths ever declared in all the world. Jesus answers, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes into the Father except through me." Jesus not only knows the way, he is the way to heaven. And it was Thomas who asked the question to which every person needs to know the answer. So when the disciples tell Thomas that Jesus is alive, he is just as genuine with his response. He doesn't believe, and he doesn't pretend to believe. And he doesn't think that he will ever believe unless he can see Jesus alive for himself. And he isn't interested in playing a game or just going through the motions. Maybe you are like Thomas. When it comes to the Bible, you're not sure you trust it. A dead man rising from the grave, it just seems a little too much for you to believe. You have questions and apprehensions. Maybe you've grown up in a Christian home, maybe even in this church, but you have your doubts. Or maybe the message of the Bible is completely foreign to you, and you don't even know where to begin. My friend, that's okay. Even Jesus' disciple had a hard time believing. So I invite you to take your time. Evaluate what you hear. Ask all the questions you want. Investigate the claims of Jesus for yourself. Most importantly, read this book and see if it has relevance for your life. We're not trying to coerce anyone to believe anything. Only God can change your mind. Only He can give you a heart of faith. Well, I want you to see what happens to Thomas 1 week later. I'm sure his friends tried to convince him to believe. They were joyful. He was still sad. It's obvious that Thomas was a believer in the death of Christ. I mean, he refers to the wounds in his hands and side. He witnessed Christ's crucifixion. There was no doubt in Thomas's mind that Jesus died on the cross and was buried in the tomb. And Thomas also believed that the tomb was empty 3 days later. Surely sometime in that week, he went to the tomb to see for himself that the body was gone. But Thomas just would not believe that Jesus was alive. Maybe throughout that week, he vacillated between hope and despair. I'm sure he wanted to believe, but his doubts were just too strong. Look, though, at verse 26. And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace to you." This time, Thomas is with the other disciples. He's not going to miss out again. And the same thing happens. Jesus appears and greets them. And then Jesus speaks directly to Thomas. He looks him in the eyes and repeats the very words that Thomas had told the other disciples 1 week earlier. Verse 27. Then he said to Thomas, "Reach your finger here and look at my hands. And reach your hand here. Put it into my side. And do not be unbelieving, but believing." Now, Jesus didn't have to, but he condescended to Thomas's skepticism. He provides the evidence Thomas demanded. Jesus had the marks on his hands and side. It was plain to see that this indeed was that same man who hung on the cross. Notice Thomas's response in verse 28. And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." This was a confession of faith. The doubter had become a believer. I want you to briefly notice three important parts to Thomas's confession. First, it highlights the lordship of Christ. Jesus is Lord. Lordship refers to his authority. And if Jesus is the one in authority, then we have the obligation to obey him. When Jesus called disciples, he said, "Follow me." And that is what we are called to do. Stop going your own way and follow Jesus. Stop listening to all the other voices and listen to the voice of the Good Shepherd. Jesus said, "If anyone will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Now that's a lot to ask, but Jesus is Lord. He is Lord over all. He is worthy of your obedience. Second, Thomas declares that Jesus is God. He confesses the deity of Christ. And this was no blasphemous exclamation that we often hear when someone is surprised. No, Thomas, as a Jewish man, would never use God's name in that way. Thomas truly believed that Jesus is God. And that is what the scriptures tell us. At the very beginning of John's gospel, it declares Christ to be the creator, to be with God before anything was made. And then John explains that this eternal God took on temporal human flesh. He entered time and space for a purpose, to be our Savior. The Apostle Paul explains in his letter to the Philippians that Christ left the glories of heaven and humbled himself, emptying himself by taking on the form of a man. And then being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. You see, the death of Jesus wasn't an unfortunate miscarriage of justice, nor was it the death of a devoted martyr. No, Christ came for a purpose. He laid down his life willingly for our sins, and this was all part of God's plan. And the only way to save sinners was for God to take the sin on himself and to die in our place. And of course, the resurrection vindicated Christ's claims to be God and Savior. So in Thomas's great confession, we see the lordship of Christ and the deity of Christ. But I want you to notice something else important. A relationship with Christ. Thomas says, "My Lord and my God." Yes, Christ is Lord whether or not you obey him. And he is God whether or not you worship him. One day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, the glory of God the Father. But for Thomas, this was personal. My Lord and my God. In this confession, we see a relationship with Christ. Thomas believed. Now you may be thinking, well, that's a nice story about Thomas and Jesus. But what does it have to do with me? Well, look at what Jesus says next in verse 29. Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus acknowledges Thomas's faith. Thomas was indeed convinced by the evidence, and he believed. But Jesus gives a blessing on those who believe without seeing. Now, at this point in history, I don't know if there was anyone who believed in the resurrected Christ who had not seen the resurrected Christ. It had only been a week. So nearly everyone who believed had seen. And there would be many others who see. For the next few weeks, Jesus appeared to others. Paul tells us that even 500 at once were able to see Christ alive after his resurrection. But then Jesus ascended to heaven. He is now at the right hand of the throne of God. So that's where he is now. You cannot see the risen Christ right now with your own eyes here on earth. These words to Thomas are about you and me. We are blessed if we believe in the risen Christ. But we must see him with the eyes of faith. We cannot see his hands and his side. We have to trust the eyewitnesses. We have to believe the scriptures. Christ is Lord. Is he your Lord? Are you obeying him? Christ is God, but is he your God? Are you worshiping him? Christ is the Savior who died on the cross for your sins, but is he your Savior? Are you trusting him? Do you know the risen Christ? After recording the words of Jesus to Thomas, the Apostle John makes a concluding point, verse 30. And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. The 20 previous chapters written by John only scratch the surface of all that Jesus said and did. He performed many other miracles, although the greatest sign of all is his own resurrection. But what we did read today is recorded, John says, for you, that you may believe in Jesus, that he is Lord, that he is God. John says that he is the Christ, the one foretold of in the Old Testament scriptures, that he is God's Son, come in human flesh. And he came so that you may have life in his name. You see, death is what awaits us living on earth. It eventually comes to an end. We all know that too well. We've attended funerals. We miss people that we knew and loved. Death awaits us, but what's after that? The Bible says that judgment awaits sinners. And each one of us is a sinner because all have sinned. So we need to be saved. We need rescue from our sins. We need forgiveness. We need life. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So how should we respond to the risen Christ? If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Blessed are you who have not seen, yet have believed in the risen Christ. Let's pray. Our Father, we're thankful for the time of worship. We thank you for your plan of redemption, that you intervened into time and space to rescue sinners from certain judgment. We recognize that we have offended a holy God, but we're thankful that you are rich in mercy, abundant in love, full of grace. And we're thankful that you sent your Son to make peace between us and your holiness, you and your holiness, and us and our sinfulness. We're thankful that Jesus paid it all. He died in our place. And that he gives all who believe his own righteousness, that we can be declared not guilty because of all that Christ has done for us. Father, I pray for anyone hearing this message of good news that they will believe, that you will give them the eyes of faith, that you will convince them in their heart that Jesus came to save them, that you will draw them to your Son, and that through simple faith, they will follow Christ and receive the gift of God, which is eternal life. So, Father, we're thankful for all that you have done and for the time to gather and to rejoice in the gift of your Son, who died for our sins according to the Scriptures and was buried, and on the third day rose again according to the Scriptures. Thank you for life that we can have through him. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together one last time to sing of the blessed hope that we have in our risen Savior. In Christ alone, our hope is found.
Blood of Christ. No commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I stand. No power of hell, no scheme of man pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand.
May God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit make us one. In holiness, let us unite that we may know the risen Christ. And all God's people say,
Amen. Amen.